Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, 1575 Hooksett Road, 485-5000. Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean next, right here on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live, so you can talk with attorney Penny Dean for Second Amendment Tuesdays. Good morning, Penny. How you doing today?
Well, irritated, peed off, and just plain mad because some senators must think I'm blonde and dumb.
Well, good morning to you.
I'm telling you, you know, we've got letters and emails flying with senators saying that if enough people don't show up at the statehouse to support the override of SB 88, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves if it fails.
Well, yeah, how nice is that? That would be about as bad as a losing football team blaming the fans for not cheering loud enough. Oh, wait a minute, that was done. The Ravens did that one year. I'll never forget that. Ray Lewis. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did that in the press conference. He goes, well, you know, we weren't motivated. The fans weren't cheering loud enough. What?
That's exactly my point. And here we have a holiday weekend. They give us 48 hours notice, certain senators, 48 hours notice, and they want you, John Q. Public, in a tough economy where things are really tight as it is and some people are fighting to keep their jobs,
yep,
to take a day off work or half a day off work and go to the statehouse for their press conference and go, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. And I'm just like, does that make sense? The Senate clearly knows how firearm owners feel about this bill. It's been a very contentious bill. And so why firearm owners would have to rally at the statehouse to prove their point of view when they've got letters and emails and, you know, the whole bit.
Well, here's what I know, because the governor is going to be giving a press conference at 11 o'clock,
yep,
along with the police chiefs, with the sheriffs, and various other people who say, there's going to be blood flowing in the streets if this bill gets, if this veto gets overturned. And then at 1 o'clock, there's going to be another press conference, and that's where they're saying if the gun groups don't come together and this thing fails, then, well, we'll blame you.
And you want me to tell you the funny thing about it?
Now, how many? Stop right there for a second, if you would.
Yep.
How many gun owners right now listening to this show know that there is a rally going on at 1 o'clock at the Legislative Office Building in Concord?
Probably the ones you can count on one hand, because
yes,
it hasn't been publicized.
No.
It's been a holiday weekend. Less than 48 hours ago, they talked about it. Okay, so, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Most people on Labor Day weekend maybe go away to a camp or a lake or maybe spend time with family and friends, and they don't sit glued to their computer.
Yes, or as one member of our Paul's family was in here, she was way up in the North Country where there is no reception, so she's just getting back in the morning checking her email.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening here. And I'll tell you the whole funny thing that just amazes me is to say that, you know, some newspapers have said, we've consulted the experts on this, meaning the police. And I'm thinking, the experts, do they know how many rounds a year they have to use to qualify? Less than I use in a day at the range. When they talk about the experts on the case, my answer is the experts are the attorneys that defend these cases, the firearm owners and the self-defense experts. But it surely isn't the police. Sure, you know, that those are not the people that I would call the experts in this particular case. And furthermore...
You mean the experts, the ones who made sure that Ward Byrd was thrown in jail?
That would be the same experts.
Those would be the experts that the media refers to. Yes, okay.
Yeah, the same experts, and I quote one state trooper that told my client, your right to self-defense is your right to call 911. Mm. Yeah, and of course, if you're in an area where your cell phone doesn't work, not her problem. Not her problem.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have a 200-plus-pound man bearing down on you when you're a 5-foot, 440-pound man, you have no right to display your firearm, according to her. And did I mention the man that's bearing down on my client, who is pure white history, okay, had multiple arrests for assault? Now, which person do you think was the aggressor here?
Yeah.
Yeah, is there any question? Is there any question? And in that case, let me tell you the reason that case, and that client's one of the people who prefers his name not get used.
Okay.
And let me tell you what was interesting about that case. As usual, I spent the vast majority of my assets, the client's money, getting discovery, which is all the information the other side may have about the case. And people say to me all the time, well, Penny, it says here in the court rules in the Constitution they have to give it to you. And I go, yep, it says it. There's theory and there's reality. But what's most important in this particular case, I kept insisting there had to be certain information available that would be exculpatory, that would tend to show my client was telling the truth. And at one point the judge said to me, more than once actually, Attorney Dean, are you calling the prosecutor a liar? I said, I'm not calling anybody a liar. I'm saying this information has to exist. It's police dispatch logs. Do you think they exist?
I would think so.
One would think so, right. And I said, Judge, I'd like these because I think it'll prove my client's timeline. And the judge asked the prosecutor, have you looked for them? Yup, don't exist. And he says, so are you calling the prosecutor a liar? I said, I'm not. I'm saying I believe this information has to exist. And he basically told me if he heard one more word out of my mouth, I was probably going to get sanctioned and fined. In other words, that I was to quit hammering on this. Well, I got so angry that I said, this stuff has to exist. So I went back to my office and I issued a bunch of subpoenas to the particular police in question. And lo and behold, the information that the state said didn't exist, I got it in my hand.
Hmm.
This is a non-existent information. And ironically, the cop that produced it to me said, well, why didn't you just ask for it? I would have given it to you. You didn't have to subpoena it. And this happened to be a nice cop, right? And I said, well, I've been asking for months, and everyone told me it didn't exist. And he was like, huh, nobody asked me, which tells me the prosecutor must not have done their job in that case, or the cop lied to him. I don't know which, but something,
right.
There was a disconnect. So I faxed this information to the prosecutor, because you have to, if you're going to use certain information at trial, you have to disclose it to the other side.
Sure.
Now, realize in this particular case, we had a 5-day jury trial scheduled. We had picked a jury. We were getting ready for opening statements. And I swear my fax machine hadn't finished sending it to the prosecutor when I got a phone call telling me they were dumping the case. Now, do you know how many felony cases get dumped like that? Like,
oh my goodness.
Zip. Like zip. But here's the important thing in this case. Do you know why the prosecutor jumped the case?
No.
Not because I was right and my client was innocent, which would have been the correct reason. That prosecutor didn't want to go face the judge the next day. Because think about it, this prosecutor...
Yes, because judges don't like to be disrespected, shall I say.
Right. And not only that, it would show that I was telling the truth, that there was some document out there, you know, that they had repeatedly said over months to the point that the judge was going to sanction me for mentioning it. He said, this has been ruled on. You've asked about it. We're done with it. Move on. And I said, but judge, this is important, and I know it has to exist. And he said, well, can you show me it exists? And I said, well, if I could show you it exists, I'd have it, and I wouldn't be asking for it. Why would I be here? In other words, I'm begging you guys to give me this information. But my point is, we have cases like that that, you know, my poor client has spent tens of thousands of dollars, went through the horrible, horrible trauma that you go through, and those cases continue to happen. And the fact that our senators and realized that SB 88 was passed, ought to pass with Amendment 17-7, and then the conference committee report, the ultimate passage, was 19-5. And now the word on the street is the governor is trying to peel off Senate votes because the House has a supermajority. The House can override the governor's veto.
Uh-huh.
But the question is the Senate. So I'm saying everyone should call their senators. But what I think is more important is, do you want those chiefs of police in your town? If you're in a town that's been one of the chiefs of police out touting SB 88 as bad, You need to look at how that chief gets their job, whether they get it appointed, whether there's a few chiefs in the state that are elected, and ask yourself if you want to reappoint or reelect a person that thinks your right to self-defense is totally dependent on their opinion.
Right. Well, I got you. And that's part of what SB 88 is trying to avoid, you know, cases like Ward Byrd, who, you know, ended up taking a gun out of his holster for the reasons, you know, that some would still debate. But, you know, I take him at his word when he said he was taking it out of his the small of his back to go back into his house because he doesn't like to carry a loaded gun in his house. And that's probably his rules. And that's fine. I know other people that have those same rules. But SB 88 is trying to prevent that and prevent cases where people get charged, come to you, spend $10,000 to try and clear their name. And, you know, well, you know the rest of that story. But, Penny, let's get to a call, shall we?
We shall.
All right, 1-866-823-1077. Kevin from Concord, you're on Bulldog Live along with attorney Penny Dean. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
How are you, Bulldog?
Good.
Hey, Tony, I enjoy your show every week. I listen to it if I can. Yeah, you know, you talk about this SP 88 bill. I want to just say the senators need to wake up. The Republicans need to wake up. They need to start doing their job. They need to start listening to the voters. Stop listening to themselves. Work for the people of New Hampshire. We elect these voters, or the senators, to do their job. What are they doing? Nothing for the state of New Hampshire. This is why I'm disgusted with local senators. I called my senators. They don't want to talk to me. Sylvia Larson, she's a Democrat. She don't want to listen. Oh, well, what do you care?
She don't talk to me either.
You know? They don't want to listen to anybody. You know what? They're all a bunch of crooks, if you want my opinion, right from the state reps. The only decent state rep in Concord is Lynn Blackenbecker. She's the only decent one that listens. I wish she was on that committee, because I'm sure she'd probably do something. We elect these people, attorney. They don't want to do anything. You know, you guys are out there doing this. You're talking about this SP-88, this Ward Byrd thing. Give the guy a chance. It's a free country. It's America. Republicans, wake up and do your job.
All right, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you for your call. Penny?
Thank you. No, he's exactly right. And Sylvia Larson has traditionally been very, very against the right to self-defense.
Well, I'm seeing a pattern here, Penny. If what we're hearing is certainly true, that these senators don't have the backbone to stand up for some common decencies on at least the principles that are laid forth in SB 88. And, you know, it shows once again that our state Senate does not have a backbone. Look what happened when we tried to argue for property rights, and look what happened to them. So, you know... And then they're going to try and blame us if the Senate fails to override the governor's veto of SB 88. Let's talk real quick about some of the highlights of SB 88 again, particularly that duty to retreat being repealed.
You know, I think that's a huge, well, it isn't truly being repealed. What they're doing is basically strengthening what's called an affirmative defense, mm-hmm. which is really, it really is sad because that's exactly how people, you know, how it's expressed everywhere. But what it does is it gives you a right at trial, which is a really scary thing, to say, yes, I did this, but here's why. And in theory, it's a burden shift that you're supposed to be able to make a showing, and the burden shifts to the state. And what I think it always does is it has, to a large degree, have a burden on you. In other words, you have to make this showing. They call it a prima facie showing, but I say it's a much larger showing at trial to prove that you had some reasonable danger that you faced, and this is why you did what you did. And what that gets down to, it makes you have to articulate what danger you saw or felt. And more importantly, if you look at the recent case out of New Jersey, it's New Jersey v. Henderson, and it's a look at eyewitness testimony. And it very much is important in these type of cases, because what we have occasionally is eyewitnesses who see maybe an altercation, who see a self-defense case. And what's happened in more than one instance is the person says, look, here's what happened. And we have eyewitnesses with very different versions. And they say, wait a minute, you must be lying. We've got all these eyewitnesses who had no dog in the fight, who had nothing to do with this. And they say, this person did this and this person did this. And if you look at New Jersey v. Henderson, Okay, it's a very good case, and it goes into all the details and all the reasons that eyewitness testimony is inherently unreliable. And I tell people there's a series of sociologists who did some experiments, and they tell people that you're supposed to count how many times the basketball bounces, and they have all these people bouncing basketballs, and they have a gorilla walk through the middle of these bouncing basketballs, right? Have you ever seen this?
I've heard of it.
Okay, and you ask people if anything unusual happened. They go, no, but I think the basketball bounced 15 times.
Oh, and that's funny.
Okay, and you're saying, how can you miss a full-size gorilla? In other words, it's a person that's dressed like a gorilla that walks through these people playing basketball.
So this is a case that's going before the United States Supreme Court, that New Jersey versus Henderson.
Well, right now it came out of the New Jersey Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
And it was decided August 24th, 2011. Now, it introduced a revised standard for the admissibility of eyewitness identification in criminal prosecutions. Now, I expect one party, which would be the state, will want to appeal it, and it will go up. You know, I expect that the state doesn't like the answer they're getting here because the state in a lot of cases wants it to go boom, boom, boom. This guy says he saw it. Of course he saw it. Let's go.
Right.
You know, where if you're the defendant, you want things to go, and you want everything to be happy.
All right, Penny, I've got just a very short period of time left here in this segment, and I got one more caller that we can get to, okay?
Yep, the caller it is.
Bill from Hillsboro, you're on Bulldog Live, along with Penny Dean here on Second Amendment Tuesdays. How you doing, Bill? All right, let's try it again. Hi, Bill, how are you?
How are you, Bulldog?
All right, good.
Good morning, how are you?
Good. Hello. Go ahead. Okay. What's on your
mind? Hey, listen, I just have a question. Is the government just not going to be happy until they disarm the whole general public? Is that what we're heading towards?
Well, I think the bottom line is they want us to always ask, Mother, may I? You know, you call 911, Mother, may I throw this guy out of my house? Mother, may I do this? You know, and that's really what it is. I think it's offensive that we wouldn't have a right to defend our own private property and our own homes and our own curtilage. And really, that's what they're saying, because even if Ward Byrd did what they said he did, my answer is, so what? She passed many private property signs. She knew she was on private property. Doesn't he have a right to order someone off his own property?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I really think we're in back in the nanny state where these people are going to tell us what's best, and I think the liberal rags that are saying we should ask the experts, and my answer is, since when did they become experts? Show me the training, education, experience that makes them experts. If you look at the amount of training they get in the New Hampshire State Police Academy on firearms and the rounds they fire, it's minimal. You know, it's just not the level and type that they would talk about. Ask them, you know, your local chief of police, how many times here they qualify, once or twice. Ask them how many rounds they fire and the criteria that they have to meet. And most of them won't want to answer the question. And if they do, you're not going to be impressed with the level that they have to qualify at. And so I think that's exactly right. They want everyone, you know, they act like citizens, for example, when they do a quote-unquote protective frisk when they stop you. The presumption is that a citizen with a firearm is a danger to them. And I find that offensive.
All right. Well, with that, Bill, I've got to run. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Bulldog.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Penny, got to go. People have any further questions, how can they reach you?
230-9999.
Penny at PennyDean.com. Thanks, Penny. Good chatting with you. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Second Amendment Tuesdays brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooksett. Riley'sGuns.com. They're located at 1575 Hooksett Road. You can reach them at 485-5000. And what a bunch of great hours do they have there. Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5. Thursday and Friday, 9 to 9. Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, 10 to 5. Open 7 days a week.